Remember when you were starting your career or starting something fresh? Or maybe you're starting now and it was exciting and new and you were learning and growing. You also thought that the company and your manager would help you guide your career path. Well, how's that going? My name is Todd Doherty and I host a podcast called Manage Me. I have 30 years of client, product, and operations experience from startups to retail to Fortune 100 companies. Listen in as I share real-world stories of business and life with solutions you can use. I'll have occasional fantastic guests that will share their insights as well. Come join me and learn real-world guides on how to be the most successful you and manage you. That's Manage Me Podcast and managemepodcast@gmail.com. Welcome back, Manage Me Podcast folks. Todd Doherty, host of Manage Me Podcast. Season three, we continue to talk to lots of coaches and leaders and consultants that are really giving back in a way to others through their learnings and their coaching and their guidance. And today, actually, I haven't thought about this. I think this might be my first longest distance episode recorded ever. So live from York, England, we have Emma Cowling, who is a leadership coach, and in particular, female leadership. So I'm really interested and fascinated to hear, Emma, your story, your journey, and how you help female leaders. So welcome to Manage Me Podcast.
Thank you very much, Todd. It's really exciting to be here and to connect with you. And I love the podcast. I love what you're doing with it. So yeah.
Thank you so much. So I somehow we got connected. I think must have been through LinkedIn or something. And I don't know, maybe the algorithm of LinkedIn has figured out that I'm trying to talk to as many coaches as I can here in season three. And I started following you and just really love what you're doing. Again, female leadership. So not necessarily I'm not your ideal target and client, but I love your message. I love what you're doing. Tell me a little bit before we get into your actual coaching and what you do. Tell me a little bit about your journey, because here's what I believe it is. You're in the technology field. You've been successful and have grown in those roles. You became a technology leader. My guess is something pivotal happened and you said, I need to go coach females and help other females grow and lead. So that's my guess, but tell me about your journey.
Okay. Yeah. I'm a techie at heart. In fact, my degree was in maths, so I've got full geekiness embedded within me. I started out as a software engineer, and that really, I loved getting stuck into problem solving. That was my kind of thing that motivated me most when I was coming out of university. But the other thing that emerged as I came through was that I liked connecting with people, and I always found myself talking to people and going, oh, tell me about your journey. Tell me what gets you excited. What is it that kind of you love to do? And the thing I used to explain it, the way I used to explain it back then, was that maths was my way of understanding the way the world worked. And then I wanted to get how people work too. And that's sort of the way I bring those two things together. So I started out, as like I said, as a software engineer, ended up stepping into management quite quickly because I got spotted as someone who could work with people and do the tech stuff. Managed a group, quite a large group for a while, doing research and development. And that's the point, as I moved into that management role, that's where I discovered coaching as a way of helping people. And it was like, I was suddenly managing people who were way more senior than me, knew way more than me about tech. And so I couldn't tell them what to do. I had to be a coach and I had to help them find their solution. And that seemed to work pretty well. I had a really good relationship with them, and my group were absolutely amazing. From that, I ended up moving on and working at university. And this is my coaching journey is kind of unfolding alongside as I'm training as a coach. But I moved into a university and started helping academics spin out companies, which brought me more into the business coaching side of things, and helping them to connect with companies, helping them to kind of tell people what the value was in the tech that they were developing. And I think that's a theme that's come through for me quite a lot, is that you often get people who are really into the tech, but then people don't recognize what they're doing and how that can be used. So that came out quite strongly as a theme in that job that I was doing. And then I ended up working with the games industry, running a big center, kind of bridging the gap between academia and industry, trying to get them working together more closely, which was really exciting because it was working with small businesses now who can't always take on that risk of R&D, but how do we help them integrate some other value into it? So that's the kind of my tech journey. And then alongside that, the coaching stuff was unfolding. I was learning loads along the way. And I always had wanted to step out and be a coach by myself and kind of do that as my job and run, set up my own business. And it was about 4 years ago, 5 years ago now, when I took the leap to do that and went, right, I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to go and set up my business. I'm going to do something around coaching. And it's funny how I didn't have a plan. I just took the leap. And I'm sure we'll come back to, well, I'm sure we'll come back to some of the why in that a bit later, because that the part of what I teach is what helped me just to go, do you know what, I'm ready, I'm going to do this. So I went out there, started kind of sharing some of the things I thought I'd work around businesses and stress and helping business owners with stress. And then I attended a Women in Games conference. I'm a Women in Games ambassador, and I kind of went along to a Women in Games conference and sat there and listened to some of the all-female developed games. So people talking about the games developed by all-female teams. And they just kind of went, these are different. There's a different feel here to these. What are we losing by creating kind of by women not being so present in the industry? What are the ideas which are being missed? Where do we miss the idea of diversity? It suddenly clicked to me. It's like, oh, that's the business case for diversity. But in order to be kind of really bring diverse ideas through, we need to create the space for women to step up and speak and actually kind of develop their ideas and let them come through. And I just remember this thing where I was like, well, imagine if the iPhone had been developed by an all-female team, how would it be different? And it wasn't it should be different. It was just it would be different. So what ideas have we lost in doing that? What ideas can we bring through if we help more women speak out and share their ideas, rather than thinking that, oh, I've got to fit in, I've got to be more male, is the way I'd say it. I've got to fit into the constructed sort of ideas that are there. And so that got me thinking, oh, could I do something around that? Could I set my business up around that? And so that was kind of my aha moment, where I went, right, I'm going to work with women in tech who are in leadership roles or stepping up into leadership roles, and help them stay more authentic, stay more connected to who they are, and speak out and get seen at the same time. So that's kind of my quick tour through the journey.
I love that. I love that. And I always use this term. Let me unpack some of that. It's all good, but so early on, you mentioned a couple of things early on. So you always knew, I think you said two things. And by the way, this really, really hits home for me too. Very similar. Always wanted to have my own business, always wanted to do coaching. And yes, I've kind of been on this, you know, I've always had all these corporate jobs, but I've always had these other businesses and trying new things and trying to find that sweet spot, if you will, of what is it. Another thing you mentioned related to that hit so close to home is I love talking to people. I love hearing about their journey, about their wishes and dreams and desires. And then I just feel this sense of, I need to help them with that. Like complete strangers. Like, I need to help you with that. How can I help you with that? And, you know, whether it's someone smart starting a small business, or someone in the corporate world trying to make that next leap, or whatever that is, I just feel like when I talk to people and I hear that, I'm like, I'm compelled to help you. I'm not saying I have all the answers, but just compelled to help you in that. The third thing, I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly what you said, but you talked about coaching, and you talked about some of the folks on the team had, you know, more tenure, more knowledge, more depth of understanding of their particular role. And that's one of the big fundamental differences between coaching and managing, right? Managing is not necessarily you have to know more than the people on your team, but that's usually more specific, driving, task-oriented. Coaching is more bringing out those things from the person. Like, I don't know all the answers. Mm-hmm. You actually, as the coachee, know the answers. You just don't know you know the answers. So let's talk through that. Sometimes it's very easy and quick, and it's like less than an hour. And sometimes it's multiple meetings because we just haven't gotten to the root of what's holding you back or what's blocking you. And I'm this is a podcast, so people can't see you shaking your head, but when you're shaking your head, sorry. Which
completely agree. Yes,
I think which I think means you agree. But so let me try to rephrase that all in a question. You were doing all those things, talking to people, hearing their challenges. Both, it sounds like, in your corporate gaming technology world, but sounds like maybe also outside. Was there I think you mentioned it, like it was at that gaming conference where that one, like you said, I see, whether it was a game that was all female designed or I saw something. Tell me more about that. What did you like totally blank out in the rest of the conference and all you could think about was how you're going to help people, or how did that work?
No, so I think it was just... I was already into coaching by that point. So there's probably that other aha moment, which is
dabbling
that I want to become
coaching?
A coach, which might be an interesting one as well. But it's that for that one, it was, I was there, I was working on, who am I? What do I want people? What's my business? What's it going to be centered around? And I just remember, I don't know if you ever get this, where you just get tingles through your body. You just hear something. It's like, oh, there's something there. This is exciting. There's something happening here that I need to just listen to. And I was actually doing a program at the time, which was around mission-led marketing and thinking about what's my mission? What's the thing that I want to get out there for? And that helped me, that tingle said to me, oh, something here. And it wasn't like I suddenly went, oh, I know what it was. I actually sat with it for probably about another 3 or 4 months, just exploring, reaching out to people, talking to people and you, and going, what if, what's there? And at the time I was in setup mode, had some savings. It kind of felt like I had a bit of time to be able to do that.
Right.
Kind of like you're doing. It's like the reaching out and kind of going, let me talk to you about this. Let me explore this and seeing and bringing in that passion for just finding out people's stories. And sort of saying, do you think?
Full transparency. I mean, I've told you, and I've told the in other episodes here, full transparency. This year, this season is somewhat selfish on my part, right? I want to talk and learn from coaches about their journey and what they do and how they found their purpose and all that. And I'm learning. And one of the big things I've learned is that a lot of people, whether it's coaching or whatever your business is, if you try to be all things to all people, that's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. And some folks get very, very nervous about what if I'm so specific, like in your case, and correct me if I'm wrong, but female technology, maybe emerging leaders, very, very, very mm-hmm. targeted. Some people think, well, my audience might be too small, right? That may not be enough of a business. But if there's a need, highly targeted, high need, that's going to be successful, right? That's you're targeting in.
The bit that kind of niching kind of did for me, was it gave me things to talk around, things to explore, things to kind of say, if given my experience, and this is the thing, going back to, I was a woman working in tech in a leadership role. There's a lot of stories I have around things that I've faced. I've been that person who has sat in a meeting where it's all men surrounding me and not realized that I was nervous about speaking out. It was just kind of my thing. I just thought this was me. This is the way I did things. But then the more I sort of explored that, the more, and through some of my early experiences of coaching, the more I realized, hang on, I'm not being me here. I'm not speaking out because I'm a bit nervous about what they might say and that my view is completely different. My experiences are completely different from theirs. But that makes, I would think that would make me wrong rather than going, oh no, it's just because I've come from a different experience. And I've now forgotten where I was going to say, what I was going to say.
No, and not that your opinion was wrong, but it, because I've been there too in a different circumstance, right? It's, if I speak up and I'm wrong, what does that say about me? Oh, but if I, on the complete opposite, and if I don't speak up and I don't contribute, it's really the same effect in a way, right? So obviously,
there's something about that. If you speak up and everyone looks at you and makes you feel like you're wrong, then, and you think that's what's happening, then you, I mean, they might, because they might disagree with you because they don't see your perspective. So you might have to explain more.
Right.
But if you're nervous about it, then you don't tend to do that. So that value doesn't come through. But if you don't ever speak up, then nobody ever hears and nobody ever gets to kind of experience that idea and goes, oh God, we never thought about it that from that perspective before.
And by the way, you're not the only one at the table thinking that usually, right?
Yeah,
I'll never forget the first time I went from, you know, one of the big things that I talk about is the chasms in your career, right? And I think there's three, right? There's that first chasm, which is just, you know, from university to your first job, you know, real job, right? Full-time. That's a chasm, right? That's a big leap. And so I coach a lot of folks there, and that's usually free, right? These people are, they don't know what they need. High school students, college students, et cetera. Sometimes adults going back into work stuff. But the other two chasms, one is individual contributor manager. That's a big change, and can go very wrong sometimes. And then the most challenging chasm is, you know, management to executive management. And that's a chasm you don't actually go over yourself. You actually have to be invited over. And that's a completely different thing. But back to individual contributor to manager leader chasm, I'll never forget I was just promoted. I was announced in the executive meeting that I was promoted to, I was going to lead this team. And I was so excited to be in the meeting, the vice president, senior vice president meeting. I was going to learn so much from these people. They knew so much more than me. And I was so nervous about that first meeting. And I don't remember what the decision was. We were about, 30 minutes into this meeting. We had to make some decision. And I had no voice in the decision at all. I didn't know, barely knew what they were talking about. But I learned neither did they. Like, one of the guys actually said, maybe we should flip a coin. And I was like appalled. I think back in the day, if someone had an iPhone and a video, I probably had this shocked look at my face, because I thought they all knew how to make decisions. They knew all the answers. They just debated which was the right answer. Most of the people in this case, in this decision, had no idea what to do, equally as me. I had no idea what to do either. And so that was a big moment in my career of, oh, wait a minute. Just because you have a title, just because you are in that position, doesn't make it any more that you have more answers or the right answers in any way, shape, or form.
I think that's really important to tune into. It's the kind of being comfortable. I think as you go up, you just become more comfortable with the unknown.
Yeah.
I think that's good leadership, is kind of being comfortable with saying, I don't know here, but what can we do to either find more information so we make the right decision, or let's take a decision and be willing to say, oh no, I got it wrong. Do you know what? Let's go this route. But by getting it wrong, we've learned this along the way.
Yeah.
But that creating the space to say, what do people know? What do us in the room, what information is there, rather than that kind of pretending you know, which can often happen, and then bad decisions get made.
Yeah. So important. So important. So let's talk a little bit about how you are coaching your clients. And I know I always kind of, I give the illusion that this is the first time we've talked and we've never talked before, but I've been more and more like, hey, everybody, we actually have a pre-podcast team meeting and we talk about what we're going to talk about and those kinds of things. Although I will tell you, this is not scripted. We don't have a script for this, the episodes or any of that stuff. We kind of have a high level of what some of the areas we want to talk about. But one of the things you had mentioned in our pre-podcast was sort of three principles. Is that key to how you coach, or tell me more about that?
So it is now. It's something I've, and this is going back to the me taking the leap, me kind of going, right, I'm going to go out and set up my own business. I came across the three principles in, and it's also referred to as the inside out understanding or health realization, I think it's been called in the past, but different kind of phrases for it. But trying to think how best to describe it. Basically, it's a way of thinking about people and seeing their innate health, seeing that everyone is okay, seeing that we're not broken, and then building from that and seeing, and the way it comes through in the coaching is, you know, when someone, you're talking to someone and someone just really believes in you, they know that you've got it, you're okay. And the ideas around it are just that, yeah, we're innately okay. And then we pile all this stuff, this thinking on top that we think we're not. We think that we're not going to be able to do these things. We think that if we don't figure it out, if we don't kind of know everything, then we're going to fall apart. And we get this scared kind of idea of the future based on our previous experiences. And so the three principles are really some ideas about how we work as humans. They're not saying what we should do about it, which is why it's really interesting, because it's continually coming back to, right, what's underneath this? Oh, look, you've got a scary pattern of thought there. That's interesting. It's not saying you should get rid of that scary pattern of thought. Sometimes scary patterns of thought actually are what we need to save us from doing something really stupid. But it's just kind of going, have you noticed that you're on a scary path there? And is that valid? Have you noticed? And it's kind of, you start to see elements of positive psychology in it, but then it's not saying, but you should think more positively about this. It's just kind of going, well, you could choose to think positively, or you can choose to carry on the way you're going. So it's a really simple kind of approach, which you see, I'm trained as an NLP practitioner. I've done kind of several coaching qualifications. I've done mindfulness. I've done kind of explored various spiritual elements. There are all different parts which resonate with me within the three principles, which kind of then it kind of says, oh, well, if that's true, then you can see how you say NLP works, because it's talking all about the scary thinking and seeing that. But the difference is that NLP kind of says, and here's a load of tools that you could use to overcome that. Whereas the three principles kind of says, actually, maybe just noticing and knowing it is enough, because then you can choose something different to do.
Right.
Just so that's my kind of quick tour of
it. Yeah. No, well, we don't want to give all the secrets away here. just yeah. But I'm noticing that too. I have not read, I think it's Sydney Banks. Is that the?
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
I haven't Sid Banks. Read that yet. Unfortunately, yeah. I've got this stack of books next to my bed that I need to read, and hundreds more on a list. And someday I'll get through some of them. But that I love that idea. I was listening, but as you were talking, I was thinking, oh, I just met with a client just earlier this week, called in a bit of a panic, you know, was let go from his company, been there for a long time, and had worked into from a technology developer to more of a sales role. And that was really where he wanted to go. And he had sort of just fairly recently moved into the sales role. So he wasn't panicking. He was very nervous, mm-hmm. and he wants to stay in continue in sales role, but didn't feel like he had enough experience. And he was really, he was kind of that negative. He was talking himself out of things. Mm-hmm. And so we met, and at the beginning of this part of our conversation, you had just said, you know, sometimes, and again, I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly what you said, but sort of encouraging, right? And just, it's encouraging, you're acknowledging. And so I didn't realize it until you just said it, but I was doing that and saying, well, hold on, you know, your resume is really stellar, and you've got this journey of technology roles and more and more senior. And it's a nice switch in the same technology world that you're in into a sales role. It's very natural. You've been successful, even though it's been somewhat of a short runway in the sales role. And, you know, his resume was great. He had lots of great contacts. He had already reached out. He's doing all the right things, but I get it. Losing your job unexpectedly with, you know, four kids is pretty scary. Mm-hmm. But at the end, we just had a quick little coffee. And at the end, you could just see him physically as well as mentally, like, okay, I got this. I am doing the right things. I need to stop telling myself all the bad things, like I'm not going to get a sales job because I don't have no experience. And he was just telling himself all those things. And I said,
yeah,
hey, kind of similar to what you just acknowledge that. It's okay to think these things. Just don't let your whole world go down these paths. Just acknowledge that, oh, I'm really kind of talking bad to myself that I can't get a sales job because I don't have enough sales experience. And I said, well, who's the one saying that to you? Have you heard that before from recruiters or anything? No. Like, well, and then it's just you. So stop it. You know.
And the real, the amazing thing that, and this is what I'm more and more seeing my role as a coach being, it's about helping people settle. So they come in with stirred up thinking, they're coming kind of going, oh my God, I've got this and I've got that and I've got to do that. And there's all this kind of thought flying around. The analogy I've heard used and used quite a lot myself is that it's like a snow globe. So our thoughts are just whirring around and whirring around. And what we do is we kind of grasp at them and we're kind of, but if you're in a snow globe, grasping it and stirring it up even more, more snow flies around. So it's the, what you're trying to do is help them just settle down and kind of see, oh, that's what I could do. And you don't need to guide them through anything, really. It's just kind of that slowing down, connecting, seeing that you're okay. And when you know you're okay, suddenly you get that, oh, I could do this. Oh God, look at that. But it's that's the really what coaching has become for me. It's like, how do we slow down? And myself as well, how I get into that. I mean, I know this, but I'm human. I get into the stirred up stuff. And then when I see it and go, oh, I'm stirred up again. Okay, how can I slow myself down? How can I just calm and know that I will make better decisions when I'm in that place of grounded calmness? And that's, it's so simple, but it's like, you see it and then you see it and then you, and it keeps going deeper. Every time you see it again, it's like, oh yeah, I'm doing it there as well.
Yeah, oh, I'm doing it again. I love, that's a fantastic analogy, the snow globe, right? So, you know, your emotions are stirring up that the artificial snow. And then, so if you just sort of, you know, relax, let the snow settle, you also get to see the scenery, right? Whatever's in the snow globe, right? Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be looking at. Yeah. And then you kind of look around and you can pick up whatever, you know, whatever you want, what you thought, instead of grasping at random floating objects. I'm going to use that analogy. I'm going to give you full credit, but
it wasn't mine originally. Feel free to take it.
It's a fantastic analogy. Just I'm a visual learner. So that's a great visual cue to say, here's kind of where I see you are. That's great. I like that.
And the other thing in that is that we often, when we're in that place where we feel busy minded, where everything's flying around, we often think, oh, I need to do more. So this is where the stress and the pressure stuff comes from. It's like, oh, well, I need to, if once I've got all of this stuff sorted, then I can relax and I can take the time out. But it's starting to learn, oh no, I need to take the time out now. And then most of this stuff won't need to be sorted. But you've got to do that and learn that yourself. You've got to do it experientially. You can kind of see it in your head and learn intellectually, but it's only when you start trying it and going, well, what if I just experiment today? I'm feeling overloaded, but maybe I'll try that idea out that I heard. What if I stop? Ooh, this is scary. Oh my God, look, what happened? Yeah, it worked.
Right. And you know, getting back to your coaching practice, and that's, you know, authentic. Right. Mm-hmm. Authentic leadership is one of your mm-hmm. key areas and one of the programs that you coach to and have some cohorts that you coach with. And, you know, a couple of things you've said is being yourself, being authentic, realizing where you are, what's happening to you and your environment and being, I guess, authentic to that. Right. Mm-hmm. Realizing you're in the snow globe and you're stirring your own snow globe up. Right. I'm more and more and more, I had a guest a podcasts back and it was about empathy, somewhat related, authenticity and empathy in different ways. But the similar message was recognizing what you're thinking, what you're doing, your patterns, and you know, just stopping or slowing down for a period of time to acknowledge, reset, reframe, and then move ahead.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And trusting that you've got it. I think that's the bit that's also there. It's in each moment, you're able to deal with the things that are happening. And that's often when we're stirred up with projecting into the future and going, oh, I've got to sort that out because I want to protect myself from this. And I've got to do this because otherwise this might happen and that might happen. So we create these scary futures.
Right.
And then we're responding to something that might or might not happen. But actually, when we're in the present, when something does happen that's kind of bad, we often find we have resources that we wouldn't even anticipated we might have. We often find, like, you hear of people discovering stuff within themselves that they never knew they could do this thing. And it's amazing how when we're there, we couldn't have planned for it. So we're spending all this time in the future trying to plan for it. And I'm not saying planning's not useful. Sometimes that's a good thing to do, but we don't need to do it all the time. And if it's making us feel stressed and overwhelmed, we're probably not in the best place to plan. Whereas if you're kind of there and you're thinking, oh, do you know what? I'd quite like to think that through. I'd like to come up with a strategy for that. I'd like to kind of project. That's cool, because that's when you're creative and you're buzzing. But when you're there and going, oh my God, I've got to make sure I don't do that and make sure I don't that. And that's not a resourceful place. And it's just noticing that difference in feeling that can guide you to which way to go.
Yeah. And that's why you hire a coach, right? And mm-hmm. I'm not saying you can't do that on your own. Certainly you can, but it's both from my personal perspective, as well as talking to hundreds of other people, it's much more challenging to figure all that on your own, right? To have a sort of somewhat impartial person saying, you know, pointing out, did you know that you're thinking that way? Listen to what you just said there. Hey, how are you feeling? You know, again, not psychologist or any of that counselor or any of that stuff, but from a personal perspective, just having that outside influence and voice to help you maybe slow down, pause, stop, think about the situation, assess what are your options. And then certainly we as coaches have lots of experiences either personally or professionally with other folks. And we've seen a lot of stuff. We're not bringing the answer necessarily, but we're helping you discover that answer. And it's super powerful.
Yeah. And it's the, at least to start with, having someone to just say, oh, have you noticed how stirred up you are? Because it's helping you recognize that that's where you are. Oh, like you were saying to the client you were working with, that you were saying to him, look, have you realized you're worrying about that? And has anyone ever kind of really said that? Or is it something that the pattern that's in your head? And maybe one person said that, but is that true?
Right.
Having someone independent just to kind of say, see what's going on for you and help you see what you're doing to yourself can be, yeah, so, so powerful.
And I even told him, at the end, you know, we spent maybe 40 minutes together. I said, I really don't think I helped you in any sort of tremendous way. You have all the stuff, you're doing all the right things, but I will tell you, the person I was talking to 40 minutes ago versus the person I'm talking to now is completely different. Did you notice that? And they were like, oh yeah, I feel so much better. And I feel like I'm a different person walking in the door than I'm walking out the door. And I feel like I now, you know, not just because I said, I've acknowledged you doing all the right things, but just sort of the pause for 40 minutes for a coffee or 30 minutes for coffee, talk through it, you know, letting that snow globe settle, look around, assess, you know, the environment in the snow globe. And he was like, okay, I got this. And I just got a great note from him this morning. He's got, you know, a couple interviews lined up. And so, you know, again, I don't think I did personally all that much, but maybe just that moment of pause was super helpful for him.
And the analogy I got as you were describing that was the someone walks in with this huge backpack on their back.
Yes.
And they come in and they can't quite take it off. And you're not taking it off them to look after it. You're just kind of going, oh, do you know what? You don't need to carry that anymore.
Do you know you have a backpack on that's really heavy? It looks really heavy and it looks like it's hurting your shoulders. Do you know you have that?
Yeah. Is there anything actually worthwhile in it? Or let's just unpack it a bit. Maybe there is something that you want to hold on to, but maybe one little thing. And that's what's going to, and it's really kind of just, we get so weighed down. And like you say, you see someone shift in a matter of moments from kind of like this overwhelmed kind of world on their shoulders to, oh, it just feels a bit lighter now.
Right.
Ooh,
yeah.
What can I do with that?
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about how, because you have several programs, and tell me about how you work with your clients, customers. How do you,
what, clients, how do you, usually, yeah, clients. That's time. I yeah. tend to call them clients. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I work one-to-one. So I tend to be doing packages of one-to-one sessions, usually over around 3 to 6 months. So that's like an ongoing intake of clients. Tend to work around a particular area. It might be career progression. It might be how do I get the promotion that I'm looking for? Might be sometimes it's around imposter syndrome. Sometimes it's just around, do you know what? I want to step up as a leader and I'm not quite sure where. I'm not sure what my thing is. Can we just talk around this? And over the period of kind of 3 to 6 months, stuff just bubbles up. I don't have a process. It's kind of, let's explore some of these ideas. Let's see, let's go and trial them out and then see what comes back. So that's kind of one way. The other thing that I do is I have a mentorship program. So I have like a, one of the things that's, I noticed that I missed when I was in tech was because there's so few women around in my organization, I didn't have those people to reach out to, didn't have the people, the women to kind of go, is it just me? Or do you know what, can I just explore how you navigate this particular thing that maybe, is there a bit of sexism here? Is it just that I'm not putting myself forward? Is there something I can do? So I set up a, basically it's a 12-month program where it's a group program. Usually have about 6 to 12 joining in a cohort. Sometimes it's fewer than that. And they kind of keep on coming in every 6 months. It's hard to describe, but so it's a 12-month program, but there's overlaps. So over that period, they get to know each other.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have six months to work with the new cohort, but they're also joining previous cohort who have some experience, and then they'll join a new cohort. People can stay on beyond that as well if they want to through a subscription. So what we're doing is building this community of women in tech, but bringing in enough people, or not too many people, that it gets overwhelmed. Right. Enough so that I can get to know them and help and support them. They can get to know each other, build the community a bit more and a bit more. And in that program, we have a combination of that we do some training, they get access to some online training, we do some live stuff as well. We have weekly reflection calls. So just basically a call where you drop in with whatever's going on for you. And you don't just get me, you get the experience of other women working in tech at multiple different levels. And then a bit of one-to-one sessions. We have a Slack community where you can just drop in and say at any point, what's going on? I can't cope.
Yeah.
And this has been, I've been running this now, I think we're in year 3, and have about 10 to be about sort of 10 or so active people at any one time. But there's about 20 or so in the community. And I love the way it's unfolding. There are so many amazing conversations and people kind of just growing and developing from the sense of, I was here and now I was working in one role kind of as a developer. Now I'm moving into a director role over the course of 18 months, because I've seen that my environment was toxic, moved into a better one, saw the value, and wow, look, this is what I can do. Through to someone who's just wanting to share and say, how do I show up more as me in this environment? How do I have conversations around the fact that I might want kids, but I don't want to be kind of discriminated against?
Or lose, I was on a certain career track and I want to have children now. And how do I do both? Like, can I do both? Well, yeah, you can. Yeah. Right. And so here's, absolutely.
So there's just interesting discussions that emerge through that, depending on who's in the program, what they're going through. And that collaborative element is just really powerful. So they're the two main ways that I work with people, is one-to-one, but then the group coaching with a little bit of one-to-one on the side of that.
So we are doing very similar things. So I do one-on-one coaching and I really enjoy that. It tends to be, 3-6 months kind of areas. But I actually have a partner, and on Friday we co-host a cohort and we do the same thing. And it's, we've been doing it for about a year. We've had several cohorts and I love it because we it's an hour call every Friday, and we sort of, first half hour is we talk about a topic or a subject or an exercise. And then the last half hour, we sort of talk about it as a team. And, the first couple cohort sessions, you know, everyone's a little timid and, you know, people don't talk that much. And I love it when we get to the point where, you know, someone will say something and then someone else on the call will say, "Hey, Frank, you shouldn't say that about yourself. Why is," and I just step back and I'm like, wow, this is awesome. Like, this is great. Everyone's helping each other. It's really fantastic. Yeah.
It's so, so powerful just to see, and to see that the number of times people will say, "Oh, it's not me. It's not just me experiencing right. this."
Yes. Yes.
You have those fears too. You have that challenge too. You have, even though you might be in a different part of tech or in a different role, do you know what? We're all having similar challenges.
Right.
And then that's where we bring it back to the three principles and going, "Oh, well, what's going on behind that? What's going on? Okay, yeah. So you've got into a scary pattern of thinking. You've got
Why are you
into,
thinking that way? What's, you know, yeah. what's, so we call that Unlocked Leader is the name of our group. And it's interesting how, honestly, Emma, I did not know this, but very, very similar sort of work that we're doing, but two different audiences, really, for different reasons and different needs and different challenges. But there is some commonality, right? So we call it Unlocked Leader because what we've been finding is somewhat similar is, you know, these folks are, you're getting to a certain point of career and life, and then like, they just don't know how to go forward. They don't know. Yeah. And a lot of it is imposter syndrome. A lot of it is just kind of what they've been told or they're telling themselves. And you just kind of talk about that and not, I was going to say, strip it away, just acknowledge it. Like we said before, just, "Oh, I'm thinking that way. I'm acting this way because I'm thinking that way. And, well, why am I thinking that way?" Just acknowledging that alone is such a huge step forward.
Yeah. Yeah. So mine's the program I'm running is Authentic Tech Leaders. So bringing in that authenticity and leadership and it is, it's that just helping people connect and find their community. I think that's the other bit, like you say, you're building a community there. You find people that are like you, but then you start to realize that everyone is more like you than you think. So it's that we have some fundamental ways that we all work, but you kind of also need to create people who are more similar to explore that as well.
And, you know, early on in those cohort sessions, you get that one brave soul that says, "Well, you know, here's the situation I was in, and I was at this around the table and at this meeting, and I felt like an imposter." And then you see everyone, you know, shaking their head on Zoom, and you're like, "Okay. All right, everyone has experienced this."
That's one of the benefits of having the overlapping cohorts, because you've already got a group who are brave enough to speak out and share.
Right, right.
But they're also, the way I bring people in is that through a process of making sure that they get the chance to do those introductions, they get the chance to kind of meet people before, so that, and then making sure that they get the chance to speak out and share what they're seeing, so that it always disrupts it a little bit when new people come in, and then you get this new energy and it's like, "Oh, there's a whole nother area we want to explore. Let's talk about that. What do you do?" And that's cool too.
That's fantastic. So if we've got someone on the Manage Me podcast listener group here who is interested and wants to reach out with you, and we've sparked something in them and they'd like to reach out and work with you, what's the best way to do that?
So you can email me, emma@emmacowling.com. Did I say that slow enough?
I'll put all this in episode notes as well. So, emmacowling.com.
emma@emmacowling.com, or go to my website. You can set up a call there. The other easiest thing to do is, I am very much on LinkedIn. As you said, that's kind of how we've connected. And so I'm just Emma Cowling on LinkedIn. Easy to find. Always open to connecting with people. I share pretty much daily on their sort of ideas and stuff, so it's also another way to kind of just tune into what I share and what I do and get some free content, free exploration there. But yeah, feel free to DM me on there as well. I'm always up for a conversation and to see what I can do.
Yeah, great stuff on LinkedIn. I think that's where I started following you, and then I was like, I need to talk with Emma, she sounds fantastic. So I want to thank you for taking time today, sharing what you do, sharing your journey as a coach. And it's so helpful, I think, for a lot, myself, but lots of people to hear. You know, I was in the technology world and I saw these things, I lived these things. And then I realized I could help others with these things, these challenges, and being the authentic self, and you know, really having that passion and then building this business and this coaching practice around that and seeing you be successful is fantastic.
Oh, and thank you so much for reaching out and inviting me on. It's just, yeah, I think one of the great things is connecting with you as well, is that you never know who's watching, who's listening, who's kind of there. And then my other element is kind of, how do you raise your visibility? But by putting yourself out there, you never quite know who you're going to connect with. And it's amazing right. What happens when you kind of go, oh yeah, of course, why wouldn't I join this podcast?
It's been a little over a year and I've been, you know, putting things on LinkedIn and sharing more, and I'm trying. I've stopped saying I'm not a writer and I'm not creative. I've changed that to I'm trying to be a better writer and I'm trying to be more creative. But that whole, like, why would I put something on LinkedIn? People like there's so many other smarter people and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I don't, whatever. You know, I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah.
And I don't get a ton of response. I get, you know, a decent response. But what's amazing, to your point, is every once in a while I'll be out somewhere, or I'll be at a meeting, or I'll be talking to someone and they haven't responded or anything on LinkedIn, but they'll say, oh, that thing you posted last week, that was really cool. And I'm like, okay. So people are paying attention. They're just not interacting. Yeah. I think LinkedIn is like 98% lurkers and 2% interacting.
I think I had a year where pretty much no one liked any of my posts. And I just thought, is there any point of this? Right. And then every so often I get a little message saying, oh, what you said, just you're watching it. And now I hear people, I'll meet someone at a networking meeting. They'll go, we've met before. And then we'll go, no. Oh no, I've been watching you on LinkedIn. That's what it is.
I've been watching you for a year on LinkedIn. I feel like I know you personally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's part of it. That's why I do videos as well, because it's a really good way to get to know, for someone to get to know you, so they feel more comfortable with you when you then start the conversation.
Absolutely.
And I know how difficult it is to reach out to some stranger and go, oh, can we talk about coaching, please?
Right.
But actually, if you've had the chance to listen to me, see my mannerisms, kind of get an experience of that, then it should make that first conversation a lot easier. And you know what sort of things I believe in and what I talk about. So that's
the bit, and that's one of the big challenges is, first off, I don't need a coach. I can do this myself, right? Most common thing I hear. Second is, I think I might need a coach, but I have no idea how to find a coach, and what if I pick a coach and they're wrong, right? And so I encourage folks to reach out and talk to a couple coaches, right? Mm-hmm. Just reach out and just, you know, or follow them on LinkedIn, or go to their website, reach out to them. Have 99% of the coaches I know will have a 15, 30, maybe 1 hour free session just to talk through what your challenges are, how we work, what we do, how we would attack that. No obligation. I totally encourage you to do that.
Yeah. I do a 30-minute call, which sometimes goes a bit longer. And,
yes,
and the thing I usually say to people in that is that this is a chance for you to experience my coaching. It's not for me to do a sales pitch. If you kind of get to the end of it and you think, yeah, I'd like to know more, then we can talk about that. But I'm not going to put pressure on you. It has to feel exactly right for you. And I think that's always my fear when I'm reaching out to someone, that I'm going to sign up and do a conversation. And at the end of it, they're going to do this. Well, so are you going to sign up? Come on.
Yeah.
And they do this
high
big
pressure
one.
Sales. Yeah.
Oh my God. I hate it. Right. So I don't do it. I can't, I'd just rather give people the chance to experience me. And then what tends to happen is that it feels right. We go for it. And it works so much better.
Exactly. Well, again, thank you for meeting with a complete stranger on a podcast. And thank you for your time and everything you've mentioned today. I will put all of your contact and LinkedIn and email and website and all that stuff in the episode notes. And two last things. One is, I'd like to leave this door open and maybe we circle back around in some future period.
Absolutely,
and we talk about what else is happening and how things are going. And two is, I've said this a number of times, completely ripped this off from another podcast, but question for you, when I mention Manage Me or Manage Me Coaching, what do you immediately think of? What do you think of when you hear that?
So the bit that comes through for me more and more now is that the what we were talking about, the letting yourself settle. It's the managing you in the sense of, I don't need to figure it out. I don't need to get everything in place. It's a, let me just tune back into me and who I am and what's coming through, like, for me at the moment. And often it's the tuning into our wisdom, our creativity, our own sort of true self. It's powerful. That's where, when we take an action from that place, it usually results in something you think, oh, where did that come from? That's where our kind of, we have the most impact. So managing me is the, oh, let me take a breath here. Let me just connect back with the moment and see what unfolds from there. And it's magical every time.
Yeah. That's fantastic. I love that. Yeah. I've had people say, you know, it's the oxygen mask on the plane, right? You got to put your own on first before you can help other people. And, you know, the settling, maybe I should change my logo to a snow globe now. I really like that one. That's going to be with me for a couple of days. I know it. Well, Emma Cowling, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom here to Manage Me Podcast. Thank you for spending time with us and really appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
I want to thank you for listening today. Really appreciate you spending time with me. Hopefully you learned something. I want to remind you that I want to hear from you. So if you have a question or input, remember, go to manageme.godaddysites.com or email me at manageme.podcast@gmail.com. On the website, you'll be able to submit a voice recording, something that you want to hear, something that you want to have on an episode, and I want to hear from you. I want to hear about your topics, your guests, your input, your feedback, hopefully good, but also bad. Talk to you soon.